Hello, friends, and welcome to Everyday Truth with Kurt Skelly. We're here to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're studying the book of Romans and learning how the power of the gospel impacts every part of our lives. Now, let's join Kurt for today's episode.
Welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. I am really excited because I am in a brand new setup here in our studio in Fredericksburg, Virginia. So it's a little bit more homey, and I'm not sure how it looks on your end, but it gives me a little bit more freedom, and I've got a new table for my Bible, so I'm liking it. We'll see how it works out. And we're also gonna play with a couple different camera angles just to kind of maintain interest. So thanks for being flexible, and thank you, Stephanie. Just got this note in the mail the other day from Stephanie Canazzaro. Stephanie, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But I met Stephanie when I was preaching out at the Great Harvest Baptist Church in Sacramento, or actually Orland, California. What a joy it is week by week to preach at different places around the country. I've been doing that for, oh my, I guess 25 years or so. And I was in California a couple weeks ago, just for a day or two, and got a chance to meet Stephanie and the good folks there at Harvest. And she began listening to the podcast and sent me a nice note. So Stephanie, thanks for that. Got a couple other postcards to show you in days to come. We're in Romans 15 today, getting really near the end of our study of the book of Romans. And I'll tell you, I really love the last half of Romans chapter 15, because it tells us a lot about the Apostle Paul's personality, a lot about just his heart for people. Romans 15 is the passage where Paul definitively states his stated philosophy about getting the gospel to unreached people. Amazing, amazing passage of scripture. We've kind of finished up the extended topic of the stronger brother and the weaker brother. And we're coming into a landing here in the book of Romans where the Apostle Paul is going to talk a little bit about his own ministry. He's going to talk a little bit about his plans. And then in chapter 16, famously, he's going to talk about a lot of people that are ministering with him, people he's greeting, people he's served with. And it's just a really heartwarming chapter because it shows that there are many unsung heroes in churches and in ministries all around the world. And the Apostle Paul was careful to give them credit. So Romans chapter 15 in your Bible. And let's look at verse number 14. I think we left off last time in verse 13. And the Apostle Paul says in Romans 15, 14, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are all full of goodness, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." So this is really the way by which Paul ends the discussion on the weaker brother, the stronger brother. And what he says is so helpful. Because he says to the church, "Now, church, I know you, and I know that you're good people, good in the sense of they were sincere, they were following God. Obviously, humanly speaking, there is none good, no, not one. The goodness we have is what we have in Christ." But understand what he means here. So Paul's saying, "I'm not writing to rebuke you. I'm not writing because you are a church that's falling apart and you're schismatic and you don't get along and the Jews and Gentiles are at odds with each other. No, I'm writing because I know that you have a good spirit and I know that you're a healthy church." And many times when we need the word of God most is when we are healthy, when we are obeying. So just because you hear a message that deals with sin or deals with areas of concern, That doesn't mean that your pastor is trying to zero in on you, or somehow every time the pastor or the teacher gets up to teach that he's rebuking you. No, as healthy Christians, we need healthy messages. And many times the best way to receive a message is when we don't need it, but we need reminded of it so that we won't need it. Does that make sense? So here the Apostle Paul says, I know that you're filled with all goodness and, he says, and knowledge. So it's not as if I'm teaching you something brand new. It's not as if this subject has never been broached before. You have knowledge in these areas. You have been taught in these areas. But just because you have the right spirit and just because you have the right knowledge does not mean that you don't need reminders. Now, I think that's the point that Paul makes in 2 Timothy 2. That's the really big point that Peter makes in 2 Peter chapter 1, where he reminds them over and over again about those important elements that comprise the outline for Christian living, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and that whole section. So just understand this, that when you hear messages that are reiterative, when you hear truth that is repeated in your life, that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. And that's not a bad minister, pastor, or teacher. No, actually, that's a sign of a healthy teacher who's willing to remind. Think about it, moms and dads, as you raise your kids or as you raised your kids, how many times did you come back to the same themes and say the same things so that they were really etched or embedded in the thinking of your children? That's not bad parenting. That's good parenting. So the Apostle Paul said, hey, you're filled with all goodness and with all knowledge. And then watch what he says thirdly in verse number 14. He says, you're full of goodness. You're filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. So it's interesting. Filled with knowledge, filled with goodness, able to admonish. So what gives us the ability to admonish other people? What gives us the wherewithal to say the hard things to a brother or sister in Christ? What gives us that ability? Well, I think what we just talked about. First of all, having the right attitude, having the right spirit filled with all goodness, and then having the right information filled with all knowledge. In other words, we probably shouldn't be rebuking people. We probably shouldn't be challenging people about their behavior or about their attitude. We probably shouldn't be admonishing others unless we have the right spirit with the Lord ourselves and the right knowledge that we're able to give them the truth. So the Apostle Paul says, you're filled with all goodness, you're filled with all knowledge, and you're able also to admonish. And so I would say it this way, that if you do have a bona fide walk with the Lord, and you do have a measure of scriptural knowledge, then you also do have, along with the ability to admonish, the responsibility to admonish. Think about that great passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul wrote the church at Thessalonica, a young church, a church full of young converts. And the Apostle Paul encouraged that church to know them or to acknowledge them that were in leadership over them. Why? Because they had the unpalatable job of having to admonish. You know, that's not a job that leaders relish. That's not a job, well, I just want to tell people things that they don't want to hear. I mean, if you want to tell people things that they don't want to hear, you're probably not a good minister. But if you don't tell people things that they need to hear, in spite of the fact that it might be uncomfortable, then you're also probably not a good leader. So a good leader is one that's willing to say the hard things, but really doesn't want to say the hard things. And the Apostle Paul zeroes in on that concept here in verse number 14. Now, wouldn't it be a great thing in your church? Wouldn't it be a great thing in your little circle, your group, if people were spiritually mature, they walked with the Lord, they had knowledge of the Word of God, and they were able to call each other out for the purpose of mutual edification? Wouldn't that be great? That's the way healthy churches are supposed to operate. They're supposed to operate that way. I think even in the business world, people have unwittingly discovered that principle. I read a great book some years ago called The Advantage by Patrick Lencioni. It's a business book. And in that book, he says the most important part about the success of any business is the organizational health of that business. And in speaking about organizational health, he said, well, we've got to trust each other. So build trust. What are the enemies of trust? What are the fertilizers of trust? But then he says, and we need to be willing to call each other out. He calls that peer-to-peer confrontation. And until we're willing to be that kind of a biblical friend, right? What's a biblical friend? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Now, we can flatter each other and tell people what they want to hear, but that doesn't help anybody. Or in a spirit of love, fidelity to God, knowledge of his word, we can deal with each other because, let's face it, I see things more clearly in your life than I do in mine. We all have blind spots. And so to be that side view mirror or that rear view mirror that reveals those blind spots is an important function of the community of believers. So as Paul writes a community of believers in Rome, he encourages them along those lines. Wow, we've taken a whole lot of time for one verse, but we're going to stop there because that's a really good standalone principle for us today. So thanks for coming to our brand new studio. Hope you'll stay with us. Look forward to jumping into verse number 15 next episode. Until then, have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If you enjoy Everyday Truth, take a moment to subscribe or share the podcast with a friend. Until next time, God bless.